on a hump day. But there's a baseball game going on that we'll continue to pay attention to. Could use some runs right now, just speaking that into existence. But, oh yeah, the Browns are a dumpster fire again. Man, if we miss this, not. But to talk about the dumpster fire that is the Cleveland Browns, to get his thoughts on benching Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski, how much blame does he have, and all this and more, we go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. On the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross, hi, buddy.
Hey, that might have been a 9.
Mm.
That was pretty good.
I've been kind of delivering here for you recently.
No, you have been. And you know what's interesting? Advertising works. Like, the next time I'm in Cleveland, I'm going to the North Olmsted Chrysler Dodge, whatever. Because I've heard you say it so many times, I feel like I've spent half my life hanging and holding on the North Olmsted Chrysler Dodge hotline, that next time I do a Browns game, if it's in Cleveland, I'm going to North Olmsted. Where is North Olmsted? I'm going.
It's north of Olmsted, I would say. That's right about where it is.
Oh my gosh, you guys don't even know where it is, dude.
Well, no, trying to explain somewhere where something in Northeast Ohio is.
A bunch of other cities you don't
somebody,
know either.
To somebody who's not from here, it just gets convoluted really quickly. It's in the Cleveland area. That's all you really need
to
know.
Listen, I lived in Berea for a full month, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's Berea.
Oh, is it Berea?
Oh, I thought that was a bit you were doing. I thought you intentionally flubbed it.
No, I can't remember. Although my college roommate at Princeton, he went to Mid Park, and he wore the same shirt every day in college. It said, "Go Mid Park, beat Berea or Berea."
Apologies to good people of Berea and the good people of Berea as well. Ross, we are up a creek without a paddle right now with the Browns at 1-4. Are we at salvage the season, or are we at sail off the season at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair to have that conversation, especially, you know, with the game you have coming up against Philadelphia, coming off of a bye. It's funny because you guys appreciate this. I was on Philadelphia radio this morning for a while, and they're kind of apoplectic right now because of the Phillies. I mean, they really thought the Phillies had a great chance to win the World Series, and now they could be eliminated in like 4 hours or whatever it is. And so they said, this was the exact quote in the radio, "Can you imagine if we lose tonight and then the Eagles lose to the Browns?" Like, that's where the Browns are now, where it's like, if the Eagles were to lose to them, that would be rock bottom for the city of Philadelphia. It's the biggest spread on the entire slate for Sunday. And I got to be honest with you, I am really, really surprised and disappointed by what we've seen from the Browns. Really, I truly am. I didn't know what to expect with Deshaun Watson. We talked about it last week. I did not think he played poorly against the Raiders. I thought he played pretty well. I thought he was not on the list of the top five reasons why they lost that game to the Raiders. And as we discussed last week, I didn't know if that made it worse or better. You just watch them and something is missing. It feels like there's something hanging over, like hovering over the entire franchise right now. And frankly, I do think it's Deshaun Watson's contract. And the real problem that they have right now is these guys know what it looked like with Flacco. They know what happened with Flacco, right? So whether it's consciously or subconsciously, and even though they know the O-line needs to play better or this or that, they also know that they were getting better play at the quarterback position last year, and they elected to not even try to bring that guy back for all the reasons we probably already know, for this exact reason. Because if Flacco was still there, people would really be clamoring to put him in.
Yeah, does it hurt Stefanski at all, the idea that it just seems like he's hamstrung right now, and it seems like the Haslams want to play They want to play Deshaun, and they're going to play Deshaun.
I think that only goes so far, though. I mean, I would agree with you that they are heavily, heavily invested, as in, like, more than anybody else has ever been, for Deshaun Watson to work out. But at this rate, what are the odds that it does? You know, what are the chances that he becomes a top 10 quarterback again? Not real good, but then what are their options otherwise? I mean, the question is, if you put in Winston, are you throwing in the towel on Deshaun Watson? And I would say, not necessarily. You know, I mean, if they go with Winston and he wins and it goes well, then you leave him in. If you go with Winston for a couple of weeks and it's still a disaster, then you can go back to Deshaun and it's almost like the pressure is off, if that makes sense. Right now, everyone's clamoring for him to be benched. And everyone wants to, you know, see what Jameis Winston can do. Well, if you do that, there's only two scenarios. Jameis plays well, and you go ahead and you keep winning and see if you can salvage the season, which people will be happy about. But if Jameis plays poorly, then you can put Watson back in, and people won't be saying, although actually in your case, they might be calling for DTR at that point.
We got extra guys here. Yeah,
there's always another door there, Ross.
Moment you bench Deshaun, I think that's it. It's blouses.
Yeah, I mean, probably, but on some level, I guess I feel like they need to see what it looks like with someone else, and maybe the players even do too, and maybe a break would help Watson a little bit. But the fact that they have kind of DTR waiting in the wings, and he's done some positive things in the preseason, that kind of changes the dynamic a little bit.
Ross, with this team right now, Deshaun's getting a lion's share of the blame, certainly nationally, but even here locally. The easy thing is just Deshaun, but Deshaun doesn't miss tackles. That's been going on all season long. He doesn't drop passes, which has been going on all season long. He doesn't miss blocking assignments for himself, which has been going on. And that led us yesterday to a conversation about Kevin Stefanski. This is not anti-Kevin Stefanski, but it does seem like Kevin is getting a pass in all this when we're talking about elementary things for football, like high school level things you have to be good at and we're in the pros. Why is Kevin Stefanski getting a pass in all these Brown struggles?
Because he's the two-time coach of the year in the last 4 years. They made the playoffs seemingly out of nowhere twice. They won a playoff game. He's the best coach, and this is the most successful era that the Browns have had in 25 years.
Should the bar be higher after 4 years?
Well, I'm just answering your question. I mean, that's why. And I got to be honest with you, like, everything you said about the issues this year, the missed blocks is a real thing, the drops, a real thing. But I also feel like, is that Stefanski? Like, when the O-line can't pass off a stunt, is that him? When Amari Cooper drops the ball in his chest, is that him? When Nick Harris holds Christian Wilkins with his left hand, you know, which, by the way, I still don't love that they called it, but is that Stefanski? I have a tough time saying that. I mean, you know, I'm around a lot of different teams. I call a lot of games. I would say without any hesitation that I think the Browns have a top 10 GM head coach duo in the NFL. And I think that a lot of owners would love to have Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski as their GM and head coach. I don't believe, and I will probably never believe, that it was their decision to go after Watson and to give him that kind of contract. And I do think some of the things you mentioned point to lack of detail, and ultimately that's on the head coach. But that's a whole other thing. Like, I don't understand why they just let Bill Callahan go. I think that's hurt them. You know, that's a kind of – I almost feel bad for the new O-line coach, because it's a – tough position he's been put in. Okay, hey, replace arguably the best guy in the world at this. And, oh, by the way, we're going to have different guys in at different positions every week because they're all going to get hurt at some point.
So do you feel like if Andy Reid was the head coach of the Browns, we'd still be 1-4?
That's a tough one because I think Andy Reid is starting to get into a unique category of is he the best coach ever? And I think we need to, you know, we're not far from having that conversation just because of the success he's had with so many different quarterbacks. I'm not just talking about the 3 Super Bowl wins with Mahomes. I mean, the amount of quarterbacks that Andy Reid has had success with to the point where they got paid by other organizations like Kevin Cobb, A.J. Feely. It's unbelievable. I mean, guys, I was in the booth Monday night with Kevin Harlan for Western 1, okay? The leading rusher for the Chiefs was Kareem Hunt. The leading receiver with over 130 yards was Juju Smith-Schuster. They just got Kareem off the couch 2 weeks ago. Juju Smith-Schuster is getting paid $7 million guaranteed by the Patriots, who didn't even want him on their roster. I mean, I think I said at one point during the game, is it 2018? Are we in the time machine right here where Kareem Hunt and Juju are leading a team in rushing and receiving? And oh, by the way, the team is beating the Saints' brains in and moving the ball up and down the field on Monday Night Football. I mean, Andy Reid is fantastic. I don't think Stefanski is in that category. Although, you know, the flip side is I kind of feel like I'd like to see Stefanski with a top 10 quarterback at some point. Although the flip side of that would be when you look at how Baker's playing in Tampa, it's disappointing that Stefanski and Baker couldn't make that work together in Cleveland. You know, I don't know if there's any Baker boys left in Cleveland, but you know, he should still be there. You know, Baker, his mindset, the way he plays, and I don't remember the play-by-play of how it ended for him in Cleveland and why they moved on and all that, but like everything about his passion, his energy, the edge he plays with, I feel like Baker Mayfield oozes Cleveland and was perfect for Cleveland, and it bums me out that he's not there playing well for the Browns.
Baker Bros have never left here.
Oh, yeah, live and rampant.
Yeah, right here. Uh-huh. It's your boy, Nikki Dubs. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. We do have, listen, this is not a Browns-related one, Ohio State, Oregon this weekend. I know you pay a lot of attention to college football as well. Where are you leaning in this game?
Yeah, I like Ohio State. I think it'll be a really good game. Ironically, I'm doing the Oregon State game on Saturday night at the same time. But I just think Ohio State, first of all, Oregon has played some close games, which I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if that helps them or hurts them, right? Like, on the one hand, they've been in those close games, so if that's what this is late, they have a little more experience in that than the Buckeyes do this year. On the other hand, I've never seen in my lifetime this many guys that were professional football players or could be professional football players return to a school like Ohio State had with JT and Denzel Burke and Sawyer and Ibuka and all these guys. And then they add, you know, like Caleb Downs and Quinshon Judkins. I mean, it's just, it's a ridiculously talented roster. This is the year for the Buckeyes. Barring turnovers, which obviously are the great equalizer, and I know it's a very, very tough place to play, I like Ohio State to win the game. I think the thing that I'd be most excited about, I guess, if I'm a Buckeye fan, is that I think you probably have the best team in the country, or certainly one of the two or three. And even if there are issues with turnovers. And for whatever reason, it doesn't go your way. It's a tough place to play. Outson Stadium, Saturday night, all those things. Well, you're still going to make the playoff if you win the rest of the games after that. So I kind of like that part of the expanded playoff, is that you can lose one, which I think is the way it should be. You shouldn't just be eliminated when you lose one game in a 12-game season.
Ross, I got to ask you, because for myself, it feels like the NIL Bowl, where they paid a lot of money for Dillon Gabriel, and Oregon spent a lot of money in other spots, and then Ohio State spent a lot of money because they had to try to basically beat Michigan after what happened last year and three straight years in a row of losing to Michigan. When you're doing these games and as you've gone through the college football season, have you thought about NIL, or is it just kind of escaped to the background?
It's a really good question. I definitely think about NIL. You know, last year I was doing like Ole Miss, Bama. I did a Rutgers game. I did a Georgia game. You know, this year I thought about NIL during the Colorado State game for sure. You know, last week Navy Air Force, those guys aren't even allowed to get NIL. But yeah, I mean, I think by all indications, Ohio State and Oregon are top five in the country in NIL spending, and they might be 1-2. You know, I know for a while people have told me, I guess, that Florida State was extremely aggressive in that regard. I think Texas A&M as well are other schools that I've heard. But, yes, I mean, Oregon and Ohio State are not messing around. Football is very, very important to a number of people that really like those two universities. And so there's no question that they've invested heavy, heavy resources in these programs, and in particular for this season.
Ross, really great stuff. You still haven't followed me back on TikTok. And that was a promise. That's a second straight promise I feel like has been broken to me. I thought we were boys.
You want to know the answer? I got your text last week, and I went, and I don't – these are issues you don't have, but I don't run my own TikTok. You know, that's how I roll.
That's nice.
So I guess I have a TikTok account, but the account I have is not like the Ross Tucker NFL one where the video clips are posted. And for some reason, I don't have access to that one. That's probably a problem, right? I should probably at least have access to my own TikTok account. So after you texted me and you did it, like you did it, hey, that was fun, man. That was cool. Which is a good way to text, which was basically saying, hey, this is a reminder, you're supposed to follow me on TikTok, loser. And so I knew exactly why you were texting me, so I went to go do it, and the account I have access to on TikTok has one follower, I think, and it's Ross Tucker NFL. So I can follow you from that one, but it sent me another text, because it's actually a good reminder I need to get access to the Ross Tucker NFL TikTok account. Should be noted for everybody else out there that I do have access to Ross Tucker NFL for Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you follow me on any of those platforms, all of your wildest dreams will come true.
I really just, I mean, that was, you one-upped me, you soapboxed me, you first world problemed me. That's a work of beauty there, friend. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Later, dude.
Later, dude. Ross Tucker on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And that was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. We'll react to what he had to say about Cleveland Browns next on 92.3 The Fan.